are all that we need and all that we have, all that we need. We pray that we will learn more what it means to be your church and to be your people in this world. Give us ears to hear and hearts ready to listen and obey. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. And any children who are here below fifth grade, so fourth grade and under, can go on and work their way back over for our children's ministry.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good to see all of you this day. Gorgeous day that the Lord has given to us. Thank you all for leading us in song and singing together as we still work on things being our new meeting place here. We're kind of standing back there saying I need to raise that music just a little bit because I think y'all are scared to sing. When you can hear yourself, you're scared to let it out. So I love to hear our people sing. And so we want to, I just enjoy hearing that, look forward to it. Bear with me as I get adjusted here. There we go. Russ doesn't use this, so he doesn't have this problem. We are in Ephesians this morning, and we are continuing our study in our series on the church. And we started off in Russian preaching the message, the greatest place on earth, and then on Christ's great love for the church. And then this morning, we're just going to take a look, a little more practical look at how to be a faithful church member. And what that means, what that looks like. And so I'm going to be using Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 that has already been read. We're kind of jumping right into the middle of the letter there and just want to back up and remind us of the context that's gone on before. And all that Paul has written about in chapters 1 through 3. And the amazing work that God has done for us in salvation. A look at all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, all that He has accomplished. Every spiritual blessing has been given to us. He has chosen us. He has made us holy. He has made us blameless in this work that Christ has accomplished for us and that has been given to us, has been applied to us in our redemption. In love, He adopted us, forgiving us of all of our sin, making us clean. Adopting us into His family. We were strangers. We were aliens. We were not a part of. And through this work, He has brought us in and made us a part of His family. We are called sons and daughters of the living God. He has made us right. And Paul is writing about this in all of the first three chapters. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, with the promise of the Holy Spirit that He will complete this work within us and that He will come and get us, whether by death or whether by just the day that He returns and raptures us out of here, that this work will be completed. It will be accomplished in us. And it's His promise. And He's given us the seal of the Holy Spirit within us. He's rich in mercy with this great love that He has loved us with. And I love when Rush made the statement last week, He loved us because He loved us. That's it. Not because of anything in us. Not because there's anything that deserved to be loved. God chose to love us because He loves us. He's created us for good works. We were dead. He has made us alive. We were far off. And He has brought us in near and close. This is great work that's gone on. If you look at the jump up just above chapter 4, at the end of chapter 3, Paul goes and he writes all of this under the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he gets to this and he's kind of concluding, it causes him to fall on his knees and he prays his prayer. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with His power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that through faith and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And his next is, therefore. And Paul does this a lot. As we're going through, we will go back into our study in the book of Romans. He has written for 11 chapters in the book of Romans, and then he gets to chapter 12 and he goes, and therefore, because of all that has been written previously, therefore, making this statement. So he follows us and he starts off chapter 4, therefore, I, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. We look at our calling. Paul here, the word implore you, urge you, depending on what translation you have in your lap, your Bible. Urge you, it is a word of strong encouragement, emotional, overwhelming desire to urge you, to influence you, to say, hey, walk worthy to which you have been called. Realize we've all been called. There's a calling. It's not salvation just so that you can go to heaven. And I've got my ticket to heaven. It's far beyond all of that. God has birthed us into his family. And yes, our hope is heaven. It is coming. It is what helps us, right? We know this is not all there is. And even in these struggles, there's so much more that will be coming. But he urges, he says, walk worthy of the manner to which you have been called. So as being a faithful church member, how are we to walk? Glad you ask. Verses 2. With all humility and gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. With all humility. Would you consider yourself a humble person? That every thought of pride that comes up, that you would oppose that? That I don't think of myself more highly than I do of others? That I'm willing to be the one who would gird himself and to wash feet? To do the lowly task? To honor everyone, to be humble. Christ, our example, our life that we sing about. He is our life. He is my everything. Nothing in this world could satisfy me other than Christ. Humbled himself to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Our calling is humble. We're humble. We're humble people. That the church, the body, we're known as, that's part of our character. It's who we are. We're humble. He goes on and he says, gentleness. Unwilling to provoke. This one speaks to me because I am one who likes to provoke. I call it fun. I'm usually the only one having fun at provoking. Do not provoke your children to anger. It's easy for parents to do. Are you one? And the other side of that is, I'm not easily provoked. Because as we live with one another, and he's talking about this unity of the body, and how we are to be members of this church, this body, not this building, but this body that God is creating and that he is knitting together. That these are the character traits that we have with one another. That I'm gentle. Gentleness. He goes on and he says, patience. Are you patient? Long-suffering. We live in a world where everything is like instant. Give it to me now. Now, 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 now. Order it. I can get it there almost in the same day. We don't know anything about patience. Really? I'm sitting at the light. Come on. Wait, it turned green. Go. What? Come on. I got places to go. Move over. Don't drive in the left lane. You're slow. That's for the right lane, people. Patience is my character, is me in the way that I live my life. Am I patient? Am I long suffering? Are we willing to suffer long with one another? Because we're sinners. We still have remaining sin within us. So he's telling us, do this. Why? Because it's going to be necessary. It's going to be needful. And it's who Christ is. In love. You'll see that sprinkled through this passage and through this book. In love, God did. In love, do this. In love, showing tolerance. Showing tolerance to one another. Forbearing is another word there that you can use. Forbearing with one another. We talk about this in our marriage counseling. Forbearing with one another. And it is something that we do. Sometimes there's some things that happen and we have the ability to not hold those things. I'm not easily provoked. I'm not easily offended. This is not a major sin that's going on. We talk about strangeness also. A lot of strangeness causes these reactions within us, and it's not even sinful sometimes, but I'm able to show you in forbearance and being able to take that and just to remove it off the playing field. And don't even let it become an issue. As we do this in love with one another, that we are forbearing with one another. Being diligent. Actively pursuing the unity of the Spirit, which all this brings a bond of peace amongst all of the people of God. Being diligent, as I prepared for this and was given this topic to speak on, there's a part of me going, okay, well, we'll just go build a list. And you need to do this, and you need to do this, and this, you know? And then it's like we fight against these lists. Because we live in grace, right? We're under grace. But there's still these things that we do. Spiritual disciplines, whatever you want to call them. But he's saying here, being diligent. Diligent is meaning we're working at this. There is a wrestling that goes on within us. And it is going to fight to talk about humility. To be one who is a humble member, a faithful, humble member of God's family. Without all these attributes, unity is not possible. And so for us to work together and do these things, we have to be working at these attributes. And he starts with humility. Humility is the first step. There's something within you when I say, are you humble? Or if I challenge you to say, hey, I want you to grow in humility, is it just kind of like, eh? I know, because then about the time I realize I'm humble, I'm not humble, right? They're just like, hey, I'm humble. Oh, I'm not humble anymore, am I? I'm kind of like proud that I was humble. And I'm supposed to reject the proud thoughts. You know, and there's this vicious circle. And then there's a part of me that just says, you know, I'm just kind of, I'll settle right here. I'm good. I know I can't really get there, but no. And I want you to think about that through this whole message. Don't settle. We can't settle. But without humility, there won't be any gentleness. There really won't be any patience. There won't really be any long suffering. Because I'm not willing to humble myself to do that. Where there's pride and fleshly passions, all the peace breaks down. And for us to not walk this way is to not walk worthy of the calling of which we have been called to. It's is not an option. This is clear. Walk. And he's pleading, and it's not to beat you up. It is in love that we do this with one another, and it's in encouraging you that we do this with one another constantly, and that we're working on these things together, because that's hard. That's hard. It only comes by yielding and allowing the Spirit of God to be working in us to be people like that. That's what God has called us to. Secondly, faithful church members do this together. Our unity through verses 4 through 6. You just see a lot of one, 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 one. There's one body, one Spirit. This is also, you were called in, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all. Oneness. We're all brought in this relationship all by the same way. All by the same process. The same Christ. There's only one way. And it's Christ. No man comes to the Father but through Jesus. And so we're all brought in the same way. We all have the same hope. We all have the same calling. To walk this way and to do this in our life. We should be many different people. We are many different people. There's all kinds of different folks in here. Spend some time together. There's all kinds of different jobs that we do. There's families with a lot of kids. Families with wanting kids. People who run their own business. People who work for others. We come from different backgrounds. Some of us have a testimony of growing up in a Christian home, and some of us have a testimony that you don't even talk about the way you were raised. Different ethnicities. We should look like the world. That would be the desire of this place, is to have all nationalities represented. And in the big picture of the church, that is what's happening. It is all. But we are not multicultural. Our culture has been established. We are all blood bought by the blood of Christ. And he's telling us this is our culture. It is already established for us. This is how we live. This is how we walk with one another. We may be different in our backgrounds, but man, when we are saved under God, this is what happens. And we all come by the same way and through one faith. Same baptism, same God and Father, who is over all, through all, and in all. He's over all of it. He's controlling all of it. We believe strongly in the sovereignty of God. Man, that brings great comfort, brings great peace to us, knowing God's in control, because there's a lot of times things happen and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, or it's not the way that I would choose for it to go. But I know God's doing a work there, whether I see it or not. I can trust with all my heart. He is doing a work in and through this in multiple realms of that I'm not even aware of most of the time. We're all brought together, and he is in us all. So that is massive in us living out this life. It goes on in verses 7 through 12. It says, grace has been given to each one of us. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high and he led the captives of hosts of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now, those expressions, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he has also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended in is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens, so that he might fill all things. God has given us this grace, and he has gifted us in this work that he has accomplished here and that he has completed. And as it was completed and he goes to the Father, he has given us gifts. Each one of us have gifts to serve with. This is where we could go in and we can make our list, going, hey, you're gifted. You ought to be doing this. You ought to be doing this. We ought to do this. We ought to meet regularly. All the things. And we'll get real listy. And then it's kind of like, okay, so I just live. And if I check off my list, I'm doing okay. And that's not it, is it? Is living like this, according to the Scriptures, and God has gifted us. And yes, we have gifts to use. God has graced us. When you think of grace, what do you think of? Pardon me, this is where ABF wants to kick in. It's like, give me an answer. What do you think of when you think of grace? You think of power? Or you just think of this kindness and this forgivingness, you know, and it's all going to be good. Grace is power. Grace is how we got saved. It is the power for us unto salvation. Grace is what God gives to us. It is the power for us to be able to do these things. And Christ has graced us and He's gifted us. And He's also given us the ability to do these things that are far beyond us. There's not much in me that wants to be humble. I really like loving myself most of the time. I really like for things to go my way. I really get tired and I really don't want to get up and go help you go do something or go and speak to somebody. There's a part of that's within me that wants to fight against this. But God has graced us. He told Paul, who had gone after him two or three times in prayer and request, saying, hey, take whatever this is bothering me in my flesh. I will be so much better if you'll just remove this from me. And what does God say? No. No. What? My grace. My grace will be sufficient for you. We're to live in this grace. That's what he's talking about. We live in this grace and in this power that he has given to us and that he gives to us every day. He doesn't give us grace for Monday. Monday will be there when it needs to be there. Grace is for today. And he's given us that grace to live in this and to walk in this. My grace is sufficient. He goes on in the verses in 11 and he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Everybody's got different gifts. How good is Christ to us in that as he establishes this body that he is putting together, that he's also giving us a structure that'll help us to know and to live out what he wants us to be. And how we do that with one another. He's gifted some to be pastors, some to be teachers. And they are to use those and they are to lead. And we do this in a way, what? Why do we do this? What is it for? It is for equipping you for the work of the ministry. This is the part we really like. It's like, you know, don't think. There's a tendency to go, oh, well, Pastor Russ gets to stand and teach every week. And he equips us and you guys go out and do the ministry. That's not what he means at all. We do this together. And yes, he uses those what to teach us the word. To encourage us. To stir one another up. We gather on here and what? We stir one another up to love and good deeds is what the scripture tells us to do. This ministry is sacrificial. There are those who are in need. There are those who have a loved one that passes away. And we go and we minister to those. And we weep with those who weep. And we rejoice with those who rejoice. We give for the needs of the saints. Somebody may lose a job and the church needs to come alongside and help them get through that time. It's endless. Everyone in here has some issue that could need some encouraging. This is a sinful world. If you don't have a problem, just get ready. We were out earlier and Catherine was out there and children are difficult some days. And I said, do you enjoy church? You know, she gets pulled out a lot. So I encouraged her and I said, it's only going to get harder. It will change. It will be different. But it's always a struggle. And this is what we do with one another, but in grace and in great love for one another. And we humble ourselves and we come alongside and we do this work of the ministry together. Why? Because God is advancing His kingdom. He's called us. He's graced us. He's given us leadership. He's given us a structure to work out of so that we can equip faithful members of the church. So that we all go out and we're doing the work of the ministry. This is God's work. This is not about Paramount Church. This is what God's doing through Paramount Church in this place. But there are churches meeting and gathering and worshiping all over the world today. And we're all a part of this together, and God is doing it work globally that we have a small part of right here in a responsibility to carry out according to what He's telling us and how we are to live. And to demonstrate this and to see this body growing in this way, it would scream to this lost world that there's something different there. People don't live like this. Only Christians live like this. And we struggle at doing it. But we gather for this purpose and for this teaching to be reminded of. For the work of the ministry, for the sacrificing, for the good of others, excuse me. And then for the advancement of the kingdom. It's not all inner. We're constantly growing because we have others coming in, because we're going out and we're sharing the gospel as we go. And there's always people coming into the family of God. And so there's this constant work and this constant work of ministry. You understand it. Add babies to the family. It turns it upside down. Everything changes. What you thought you had scheduled now is not scheduled anymore. It's the same thing with the church. The church is a growing organism and it's constantly moving and changing. But we're doing it according to the way God says to do it. For the building up of the body of Christ. We do this with one another. It can't be done rightly apart from each other. Rush said this just last week or the week before that. You can't do Christianity on your own. It's not possible. It's not lining up according to the way God has designed it. It is absolutely necessary, and your sanctification process is dependent on others. That we do this together. It is extremely important that you're involved in a church. God's design. He's brought us in. We were all disjointed by sin. Separated from God. No hope. He's redeemed us and brought us into this relationship. In love. In great love He has done this. And we humbly and patiently lay our lives down for one another. And for others outside. This is who we are. It's not just while we're in here on Sunday or when we meet in our community group on Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday. Or when I happen to get together with you for fellowship and eat. It's every day. It's every moment. It's every minute of my life. God has called me to this. He's called you to this. He's called all of us to this. Faithful church members, do this forever. At least while we're here. This will change when we get to heaven. We do this forever. I tried to think of other organizations that do things well together. High commitments. Now, I thought about our military. I thought about court. I started calling last night and said, no, I'm not going to do that. I thought about Mr. Bill. Anybody that's served in the military. A high commitment. I have a son-in-law that's in the military. Semper Fi. What does that mean? Always faithful. That's his part of their calling, right? Semper Fi. Always faithful. It's what they march by. It's what they live by. It's what they practice. It's what they do. No one left behind. A commitment to one another. In their platoons, whatever their quadrant was, there's huge level of commitment. Most of the time, even more so than to your family, because you've signed up for this and I don't have an option. This is what I am called to do. This is what I signed up for. And I do this with one another. No one left behind. It's the same way with the church. In verse 16. Well, I ran through, didn't I? I think she meant the 13 through 16. We do this for the equipping of the saints. As we read in 12. In verse 13 it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man or woman, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, I'll stop there. Everyone, till we all attain. That is the plan. That is the goal. That is the responsibility that we have for one another. That we all attain to the unity of the faith. That you're growing in your faith. That you're growing in the knowledge of God and who God is. To know this love, as we read earlier in 18 and 19, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. You can't even learn it all. That you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Lost my song. There's a song, there's a hymn that was written. Do you really know the love of God this morning? Have you been overwhelmed by the love of God? Have you just even thought about, just stopped and meditated for a period of time, look at the scriptures and be amazed and astounded at the love that God has shown us? There's an old hymn called The Love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond, matter of fact, we sang this song. I had to stop for a second. We sang this song one time when we were early. And all of our music people were out of town. And Russ said, hey, you can lead singing this Sunday. I said, dude, we're not doing that. We're trying to grow a church here. And we had no music. So we did this a cappella, like no music. Praise God we haven't done it since. But we sang this song. And that even made it harder because nobody knew it. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. How measureless and strong. It shall forever endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Are you overwhelmed with the love that God has for you and for me and for everyone that's in here and for those that are still to come? The love of God that we all grow in, it's just one aspect that we grow in until we all reach full maturity in Christ-likeness. You with me? I want to walk the aisle. I'm like, that's every one of you. There's not a single one. No one left behind. It's not possible. It's God's plan. It's what He's called us to. And it's our responsibility, not only as pastors and leaders, which will stand and give an account for that responsibility and how we did in carrying this out, but we also, one another, this is what we do with one another. And it's my responsibility to you to come alongside and say, man, you can't do that. Or let me encourage you, that is great, I see so much. I see more humility in you than I saw 4 or 5 years ago. I see growth in this man. He's come a long way since we've been here. And it is our responsibility to do that with one another. Your children, to see them to grow up in full maturity into Christ. That we do this, it is our responsibility. I cannot not come alongside you and say, you have to keep working, you have to keep coming, you have to keep being a part. It's why he made a plea going, you need to be in a community group. Why? Because this is how you carry this out. You can't show up here once a week and make it. There's a higher calling. There's this great price that has been given for us. And it is the command of God to us. What a plan. What a goal. We'll never attain it this side of heaven. Let you be surprised. Can you imagine all of us really being humble? It just doesn't even seem possible, does it? It is possible. It is. And it's God's desire for us and for His church to live that way with one another till we all come. He's gifted us. He saved us. He's in all of us. We're all to be moving to full maturity in Christ's likeness. Once again, don't settle. Don't think that you have arrived. We haven't. And most of us know that. But in that, don't stop. Keep pursuing. Grab somebody within the body and say, help me. I was talking earlier about exercise. He encouraged me. Call somebody. Let them help you. I'm like, no, I really don't want to exercise. You don't understand. I can take 2 little pills in the morning in about 7 seconds, and I don't have to do anything for 7 hours a week. And all my blood work comes back just fine. I'm good. We don't settle. Can't settle. We are to grow into this full maturity so that you look like Christ. Each one of us look and live like Christ. So that, in verse 14, that you are no longer children. Hebrews 5:11. Concerning Him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of the practice have their senses trained and discern good and evil. It's part of the maturity. It's what we grow up into. So that we're not like little children that we're tossed to and fro. That I'm childlike in my knowledge. That I don't have a deeper knowledge of the things of God because I continue to pursue all the thing that is out there that we know about God. I'm not weak in my faith. I'm not tossed around in whatever comes along and easily yielding to temptation. That I stand strong and I see that as a temptation, and there's nothing that will pull me away from Christ. Nothing in this world. If you were singing this morning, even softly, you said, nothing in this world would steal me away. That we would be solid, not tossed to and fro by false doctrine, trickery of men, cunning craftiness, deceitful schemes. So that means that they're coming. If he's warning against them, that means that there will be those who will try to do this. And so again, our teaching and all that we do and our equipping is so that we will stand against these things, that we will see them clearly. They will jump out to us and go, no. That's not what my Bible says. Not at all. On the contrary, he says, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love means you must know the truth. That means you must know your Bible. You must devour your Bible. You must memorize your Bible. You must meditate on your Bible. And then you need to, in that knowing, is it the following of the truth, the living of the truth. This is where we always look at. This is part of the difficulty for us. The application of the Scriptures in our lives. We're going to hear this teaching and say, be humble. And you will fire off at somebody before you lay your head on your pillow tonight, probably. I will, and I'm the one standing here preaching it. If I'm not guarding my heart, and I recognize that and go, no, that's not me. That's not what Christ wants in me. You must know the truth. You must live the truth to be able to speak the truth. And we're commanded to do that with one another because it'll be necessary. Because we have erring hearts. We have hearts that are prone to wander from the God that we even love. Truth and love must go hand in hand. Okay? It is absolutely crucial. They're always tied together and you can't do one without the other. If you do, there'll be damage. If you give somebody a lot of truth without much love, you'll probably harm them. You'll probably offend them. You may be strong for them. It's something that helps balance that. And then if we're all over here on the side of love, there'll be no correction. There will be no striving for holiness. There will be no fight against sin, as we talked about in the community group the other night. To hate sin, to see it as horrible as it is. Truth and love always must go together. So that God's plan, God's calling for faithful church members, that we all grow up in all aspects unto Christ Jesus the head. That is the goal. That every one of us, you can't settle. You can't say, well, that's for you. You're a pastor. You can't say, that's for you. You're a community group leader. This is a command to all of us. This is a call that's on our life so that we represent Christ. He left, gave us His Spirit, so why? So He's not confined to one body anymore. He's in all of our bodies. And we go on and we live like Christ. You think of the physical body and all of this working together. Can you imagine? And it does pretty well until you get older. And then we know it's deteriorating. It's dying. But my inner man is being renewed every day. But you think about the body and all that we know about the body now. And the cells and the things that reproduce and all of it working together. Cut your leg and everything in your body will say, my leg has got to be fixed quickly. And everything in your body wants to try to fix that. All of it working together. And God, and Paul is using this metaphor of the body and how we're all knitted together and working to this together. And it's for the purpose of what? All for building itself up in love. Turn over to you don't have to. It should be on the screen. 1 Corinthians 13. I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. If I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into occasion a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in righteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the perfect will be done away. The partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been known, fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. We are to be building each other up in this kind of love with one another. It's been demonstrated to us. God's demonstrated His love to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God being rich in mercy, for with this great love with which He loved us, He saved us by grace. Christ humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of a cross. God's plan, our calling, is to grow up in this fullness, into this maturity for everyone that sits in this building. And for all the other people of His church in the world. I'm going to close with this, and you can go on and you can read more out of chapter 4, because there's still more. If you have an aversion to list, then take it up with Paul and the Holy Spirit, because there's still more there for us to be doing and to working on. It's a great passage of putting on and putting off, and how we forgive as we've been forgiven. And I want to finish with this. Faithful church members, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5. I want to sum it up. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a fragrant aroma. I missed the application. I don't know if they put that up there. You can work on your application. Spend some time in chapters 1 and 3 this week. Read that. Grow in your knowledge of the love of God. Meditate on that. Set aside time to spend in that. Ask God to change your life. Then examine your life daily. Look for these character traits. Are they evidence in my life? Look for opportunities. Be living in such a way that you're looking for an opportunity, that I am humble, that I am being gentle, that I guard my heart with everything. And then as He commands us, be an imitator of God. You want to know how to be a faithful church member? Be an imitator of God. And we do this with one another. If you're not a part of the body of Christ today, and you don't really know anything about this and how it all works, we'd love to tell you more. We'd love to tell you about Christ. We'd love to tell you more about the gospel, what it means, what God has demonstrated, this great love for you, so that you can come to Christ and be saved today. You can speak to me. You can speak to Pastor Russ. Grab any one of the people around here. We will be more than honored to sit down with you and share the gospel with you. And then hopefully as a church, as you come into this, we will help you to grow to full maturity in Christ Jesus. And then for us, members, are you a faithful member of the Church of God today? Let me pray for us. Father, we just thank You for Your Word, for Your teaching, for Your encouragement. May we not walk out of here feeling beat up or overwhelmed, but to just be reminded and to be encouraged of the call that's on our life, to be brought back to a center, so to speak, of what You are doing in our lives, the desires that You have for us, the reason behind our saving, being saved, and then being left here to do the work of the ministry, to live in such a way that we are humble people, we are gentle people, patient, long-suffering, full of love, love abounding, seeing that all of these things that we should be living in. And so help us as we do this with one another. Help us to know how to do this rightly, so that we do encourage one another, that we do strengthen one another, that we do see the evidence of people growing in their maturity and their faith, and that they're becoming more like Christ, and not because of anything in us or because of this church, but because we're trying to be obedient to Your Scripture. And to You who so greatly loved us, and that You live within us and You long to accomplish this in us, and You will. And so make our hearts willing. We yield ourselves to You as we do this together. Help us to do it better. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.